Hello, my name is Michael Beam, and I use a Palm Pre, but I'm about to be the proud owner of a Sprint Evio from HTC. Now, get ready for Android Central Podcast.
Evo, Evo, Evo.
I'm falling and I can't reach my Evo.
Evo, 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 Evo.
Evo, Evo, Evo.
Evo, 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 Evo. Yeah, yeah.
Evo, 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 Evo. Here we come, baby. Let's go.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode 15 for June 3rd, 2010, and it is a big one. The Evo 4G, by the time most of you are listening to this, will be in stores. For those of you in the chat room live tonight, well, it's not in stores yet. I have one. The Keith Newman is here. Keith, you have one, right? You've got an Evo?
I do. I mean, it's not as cool as yours, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it in a second. For those of you new to the podcast, welcome. We talk Android, we talk Google, we talk cooking on occasion. And we are the biggest and best looking and best sounding. And what other superlatives should we have?
We're the best speaking.
Speaking? Nah, not so much. All right, those other giggles you hear there is Jerry Hildenbrand, one of our writers from the site.
Howdy.
And we've got Mickey Papillon. You might know him from the cellphonejunkie.com. Mickey, what's going on?
Hey, glad to be back. Sorry I missed last week, but you guys forged on without me, which was always fun to listen to a show.
We did. We didn't even think twice, actually. We're like, Mickey who? And just did it.
Exactly. You know, and hey, I talked to you like an hour before. I was willing to take
yes.
one for the community and do it. I was on a plane, and the plane, as soon as I got on it, I saw it had Wi-Fi, and I was like, ooh, podcast from 30,000 feet. And then Phil's like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. So
yeah, I was like, okay. Unwilling to edit out background noise from an airplane. Go figure that.
So it would have been pretty bad. No, I definitely agree with that. But whatever. You guys did a great job, and so yeah, let's move on. Let's talk Evo.
Look at that. Where are you getting Mickey root your phone lines in the chat room?
Okay, so here's the deal. Hopefully everybody heard it like 2 weeks ago. I don't have anything to root, so there's nothing to be rooted. I got to figure out what Android phone I'm going to get next. My Nexus is gone, so need to figure out something to take it here. So we need to change.
Let's start out. Let's start with the Evo. Let's talk about the Evo, and maybe by the end of this podcast we can convince Mickey to get one, or actually persuade him to get one. It's coming out on Friday. I don't know. I'm about all Evo'd out. I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear from the chat room. I want to hear from Mickey and Jerry and Keith. It's big. It's fast. It'll be faster with Froyo. As everybody saw, I put Froyo on it for a little while today. And it's right there at the top. I got a little grief for not saying it's the best Android phone out there right now. I'm not sure if you can actually say there is one best phone ever.
I don't know. Here, that's like all subjective, and right. You're going to get people to say that. Owning one, and I haven't owned the N1 as well. I don't know. So there are some days that I prefer the N1 over the Evo. So you really can't say you can't get flack for saying it's not the best one.
Right. Well, let's talk about what you like, Keith, because you've had yours all of what, like a day now. What's like the three biggest things about the Evo that you're enjoying at this point?
I'm going to have to probably say I like the capacitive buttons on this thing a whole lot better over my M1.
Oh,
I think I don't want to say it's not night and day. As I got better at using the M1, that kind of went away. Mm-hmm. But there's no learning curve for me hitting capacitive buttons here. Screen size is amazing. Keyboard is just amazing. There's no mistakes that I'm making anymore, which is nice. And I want to probably say the next best thing is how well Sense moves on this. I could have done an N1 ROM with Sense and it works, but this was built into it very nicely. Other than that, I'm not impressed with the front-facing camera.
The camera's actually not bad on the front. Are you kidding? I mean, for a 1.3 megapixel camera.
what I meant is impressed in terms of I'm not impressed in usability. I showed a buddy of mine. I said, "Hey, Dieter, can you do a a quick Skype video call with me?" He said, "Sure." We did it, and then my friend was like, "Oh, that was cool." I'm like, "I'm never gonna do that again." I mean, I think that might be my only Skype call.
Yeah, and that's kind of the big thing. I mean, they're pushing that as a big feature, but I'm never going to use it, ever, other than testing the phone.
Right, and you, what did you think of the quality of it? You know, Dieter said it looked good. I thought it looked okay.
It looked okay. You know, and I'm not in a 4G town, but I was doing it over Wi-Fi, and it was still just okay.
Right.
But again, I mean, I don't have a need to video call people now. You know what? There's a reason we don't do video on this podcast. I mean, there are a number of reasons we don't do video on this podcast, right? But I mean, bandwidth is still a big one, I think.
Yeah. And I, you know, I did mine over Wi-Fi. So did Dieter. I'm never going to do a podcast. I'm never going to do the Palmcast through, you know, this. Well, actually, maybe. I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't know if anyone's going to use it the way it's being touted as the end all be all.
Screen size, the number one feature for you at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. But that with screen size comes this kind of awkwardness to the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're feeling that.
A little bit, in kind of the same way I was with the HD2, right? The Windows Mobile version of this. I mean, everything is bigger, and it's great for things like typing and playing games. I've been playing Tower Raiders just nonstop and love it. But it's bigger.
I bought now for the third time Dungeon Hunter because of Game Loft and their silliness. Yeah. But I bought Dungeon Hunter, and it just is beautiful on this. So, thumbs up to that. And it's not even running, you know, Froyo, not even JIT. It's one of those things that I'm going to do some great gaming on this thing. So if anyone's like a gaming guy, that's where you want.
Mickey, when you're looking at this phone and pondering whether to make this your next Android device, I mean, what are the things you're looking for? What are the things you're looking at? What are the things that worry you?
Well, obviously, I think the screen size is amazing. And being a guy who uses all sorts of different phones and different platforms, I find that screen size can certainly make a difference if it's a second device, as this would be for me. And so I'm trying to decide, you know, if it's going to be actually too big, though. I did like the Nexus for the size. It worked out well, and so this one's a little bit bigger, but it is very nice, and that, you know, for some of the media things that I'd be looking to do, I do like that. I like the camera that it has. It's obviously a pretty decent one. You've got some great shots in your review showing different lighting situations, indoor, outdoor, flowers, all that stuff. I was a little bit disappointed with the microphone when you're taking video. So the video itself looked okay. You know, it's quote unquote HD, you know, 720p, whatever. I thought it was just okay, but I thought the sound was just terrible. So that was kind of a, you know, kind of worrisome, basically to the point where I wouldn't use it. So that was, I kind of discarded it after I saw your video. But everything else with this one, I mean, it's a great device. If you're a Sprint user or someone who's got decent Sprint coverage in your area, even better if you've got 4G coverage in your area, which, you know, we just announced, you know, Kansas City this last week. So they're coming quick, with the different markets, but we'll, you know, still be missing out on, you know, millions of customers that'll be getting this one won't be able to use the 4G. So, that is one other thing to keep in mind is you're paying a surcharge for the premium services, even if you don't get to use them.
Yeah. And a lot of people are pretty pissed off about that. And I understand, but it's not like, you know, it's not, well, I mean, you don't have a choice. You know what you're getting, right? You're paying an extra $10 for whatever.
Well, actually, you're getting $10 is, even if you don't have 4G, you're still getting uncapped data with the $10, even if you're on 3G.
And that's a very good point.
You know, I don't know if people are thrilled about that. I don't come near the 5 gigs. well, maybe some once in a while I've gotten 3 gigs, but I can't imagine, you know, people that being, oh, it's $10. I also want to kind of go on the record and saying 4G is not going to be amazing in terms of making your device feel faster. The processor is going to really help out with that. And you're going to really see the speed pick up with that, not with 4G.
Jerry, do you care about 4G at all? Do you even have 3G on the mountain there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got a Sprint tower within rock-throwing distance, so I'm lucky up here. I think that Sprint has throttled down 4G in anticipation of this release because I know using my Overdrive in Baltimore when I used to go there for work, I got great speed in most parts of downtown Baltimore, and I've talked to people that are no longer getting those great speeds in Baltimore, so something's up. You know, it went from on a good day, you might get, you know, 8 megabytes down on 4G. And now they're talking like 3.94 megabytes. You know, that's a big difference. And I just wonder what's going on. I don't do a lot of traveling anymore, but you know, 4G will come in handy sometimes. That's not the reason why I'm interested in getting an Evo though. No, you know, 4G. It's nice, but it's not going to factor into my decision at all.
Well, Jerry, why are you interested in getting an Evo?
Because, Phil, I'm getting old, and the screen. I have to slide my glasses down the end of my nose and hold my, you know, my Nexus or my Hero right up to my face to read my email. And I love the fact that they didn't bump the resolution up and increase the screen size. That's going to be perfect for me.
We're totally expecting increased resolution with the new iPhone when it's announced next week. Is that going to be a big factor, do you guys think, in people jumping on the Evo?
Yes, absolutely. I you know, this device, I think, is probably 2 weeks too late. There's so much anticipation for the iPhone announcement next week that, granted, people who are interested in sticking with Sprint and have no desire to move over to AT&T. This is a great announcement. I think The Incredible came out, you know, at a very good time. And I think that was about as good as it could have been. It was like people starting to think about, you know, the 2010 smartphone that they're going to buy. And if they were on Verizon, they saw The Incredible come out and they said, boom, I'm set. This is what I'm going to get. I've got a family member who did that exact thing. And so I think and someone who's on the fence right now waiting to figure it out, once they see what gets announced next week, I think that could be to the detriment of the Evo. Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk some more numbers because we ran a poll just a couple days ago and 12,701 responses. BlackBerry really took the big hit of people saying they were switching to Android and the Evo.
Yeah, actually, hearing that, Kevin has upped his bottles of Campari to 3 a day instead of 2.
Yeah, Kevin was a little surprised to hear that as well. He and I have talked this week. And BlackBerry's
really say a shocker? Is that a shocker to you? It might be to him. He might be upsetting to him. Of course it is. But is it a shocker?
You have an OS that's aging. They've done what they can to make it better, but they had to go buy, you know, the Torch browser from Windows Mobile, basically. They had to steal that to get a half-decent browser on the phone.
Right.
And look, I mean, anybody can do email now, and especially with Android, if you're a Gmail user, and even if you're
not. It's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely a no-brainer. So, you know, saying we have push mail just isn't enough anymore, because everybody else does push mail now. WebOS, Windows Mobile, and the iPhone actually were all at 13%, all very close to each other. 11% people saying this is their first smartphone. And I think that is a very, very good thing. And welcome to all of you. I hope we have some new people listening tonight. I'm excited. I think it's just a really good thing for Android. I mean, we haven't had a single month without just huge news in it at some point this year.
Well, and I think that is indicative of an operating system that is really moving forward. 18 months ago, the G1 to me was kind of a joke. It was limited to one device on one not very good network for me. And now we've kind of got this, you know, 26 different devices in the United States alone.
100,000 Android devices being activated every day. 100,000.
And that's worldwide, I'm assuming.
Yes, but still.
And that's
actually, I think that was in the U.S. I'd have to go back and look, and if somebody wants to correct me in the chat room, please do, but it's a lot.
Well, that's the kind of stuff to me that's really impressive. You know, you've got this momentum behind Android, despite talks of, you know, defragmented OSs, and despite talks of, you know, my hardware is going to be outdated within 6 months of purchasing.
People are going to bitch about that no matter what. You know, way back in the Windows Mobile days, we just didn't call it fragmentation. We just called it what it was. I mean, it's just like, all right, I got a phone. If I'm lucky, it'll be updated. If I'm really lucky, XDA will come out with something for it. And that was that. And at least for us smartphone nerds, you know, we accepted that. We knew that. I think people are more vocal about it now. And, you know, everybody has a blog and everybody has a voice now, but I mean, no, these things aren't going to be updated, you know, just as much as we want. And in fact, Andy Rubin came out this week and said, we're probably going to slow down to one major update a year, one major iteration.
Which is totally smart, I think.
Yes.
You know, in Jerry and I will be saddened because we're the kind of guys who like seeing updates to help toy around with our toys. I know I'd be upset to see less frequent updates. However, you're still going to see things pushed out, like different skins or UIs. I don't think that's going to slow down.
Absolutely. And that's not to say that HTC couldn't put out its own update later, or that Verizon couldn't put out an update for something. That's just saying Android itself wouldn't put out like another Froyo. Let's talk some actual more Evo news, because we had a whole bunch of news break today. I mean, I woke up to the Evo has, I mean, we knew the Evo has been rooted. That's been out for a couple days, but I woke up to the instructions in my inbox, and before I had coffee, I had my Evo rooted. Don't know what to do with it now. I guess I could put like a torchlight on it or something, but it's rooted. It was very simple. It's not the same root that we're kind of used to on other phones, right?
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah. Well, the bootloader isn't unlocked, right? I mean, Jerry, help explain this a little more. With the Nexus One, and that's the only other phone I've rooted, I really need to root this droid I have laying here, but just haven't. The Nexus One, you have to unlock the bootloader, and that's what actually voids the warranty. And then you actually root the thing and do the recovery module, and then you can do custom ROMs. So what's different here that you've seen? What's different about rooting the Evo?
Well, from what I've seen so far, it looks like you can't write directly to the recovery partition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure the root sticks between reboots. You know, you push the file to the phone that roots it. It stays there. But, you know, writing to the different partitions looks like you have to do that with that special script through recovery for now. That's pretty much like the way it had to be done with the Milestone and the Desire, I believe, as well. It's just, you know, carriers, manufacturers, whoever you want to point the finger at it, have things locked up a little bit tighter than they used to.
Did you find that weird, Phil, when you were doing it, you had to still be tethered to your machine in order to get into recovery ROM, which I've actually have downloaded ROMs on the go, mobile, and flash them via, like, driving. Well, not driving.
Oh, yeah,
but totally.
Yeah, so have I. I mean, and with ROM Manager, it makes it even easier. But, yeah, I didn't realize that at first, and I haven't read through the entire XDA thread and really haven't read it since this morning, so there might well be new stuff out there now. But
yeah, probably 700 more pages.
Yeah, exactly, 100 more pages. Strangely enough, didn't have enough time to read those before the podcast. But yeah, I was like, wait a minute, it just rebooted into the stock recovery, and that's not what I want. You know, for me, it's not a deal breaker. I'm always sitting here at the computer anyway, testing stuff. But, you know, as far as flashing ROMs, yeah, it's a bit of a hurdle right now, but granted, we're also 12 hours into this thing, so I think we'll probably have better methods. You know, and still the vast majority of people don't flash ROMs, right? And don't root their
right.
own, so it's not a huge deal. For us, it's fun to do. So.
For me, I kicked the cat. I was so angry. No, it was definitely unique in my experience. You both hit me up earlier today. Hey, you rooted yet? And yeah, I was busy today. But as soon as I got home, it took me, I told you, I was flashed to the new Flips ROM and rooted with all within 10 minutes. It was just different.
I put Froyo on mine.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was going to do that. I was going to do an Android backup, but I had to go out and pick. Lucky me, I had to pick up blinds at IKEA. Awesome.
So I put Android 2.2 on the Evo and went back and benchmarked it again against the Nexus One, also running Froyo, and then the Droid with 2.1. And it was right up there with the Nexus. Now, this isn't a normal, like a real Froyo ROM that we put on the Evo for this testing. So I said it a few times in the video, and I'll say it again now. Don't look at that like it's the definitive test of here's how it's going to be, because it's not. It's just a ported ROM, and we'll absolutely see stuff that's better and faster. But it was fun to do, and I just wanted to see the JIT, the just-in-time compiler, running on the Evo.
During pre-show, we were talking, Jerry and I think you think it's going to be quicker if it's more if it's compiled specifically for the Evo.
I like to say that. I mean, that's a completely uneducated statement on my part, but
I say slower just because with Sense.
Yeah.
I don't think Sense is going to just slow things down. So you were running stock, AOSP, and with that, you're going to just get as quick as possible.
Why wouldn't the JIT speed up Sense?
It will, but it's still going to slow it down if you're not running AOSP.
In what way, Keith?
Well, people who run, I've run even with Sense. It's GUI. It's a running program on top of everything that's really graphically intensive.
Yeah, but it's something for you to try with your Hero, especially tomorrow after you get your Evo activated. Monkey with your memory settings and keep about 40 megabytes free at all times. You'll find that Sense on the Hero is faster than AOSP.
That is a tweet, though. Remember, we're guys who like to play with stuff.
But so, I'm hoping that HTC can incorporate some of these tweaks in as well, and maybe make it a little bit faster than we're all anticipating.
Right,
nerd alert.
No, not nerd alert, because this is for the people at home that's sitting around. Think about it. Froyo has incorporated a form of apps to SD, which we've guys who've used custom ROMs for a while have opted to do that in order to install applications to their SD card, right?
Right. Lots of applications.
And now Android is starting to incorporate, the developers are starting to incorporate that kind of modified method. So while it's nerdy, it's kind of interesting to see this is how things have evolved.
Yeah, and it's nerdy for us, but we have to remember, we have to discuss things that the average person's going to go to the Sprint store tomorrow, buy the Evo, and what Sprint and HTC going to do to help my phone run faster.
Oh yeah.
Most people aren't going to spend hours in the middle of the night searching through forums and trying to tweak it themselves. So anything that HTC can do, I think, is pretty important.
Excuse me, will this phone be receiving the just-in-time compiler?
Well, no, hold on. Mickey, if you were a person that you were sending to the store just to go buy the Sprint phone, a friend of yours, someone that you know isn't going to – what are they looking for?
Well, they're looking for something that fits into their life, honestly. And I think the majority of people – when they go and buy a phone, you're not going to necessarily buy one unless that you have in mind. It's kind of a, or maybe you have a couple in mind, or maybe someone has told you about it, but, you go to the store and you spend about 30 seconds looking at a device and you go, well, okay, I can do this. And, and a lot of people don't really think about it too much. And I kind of compare a phone with a pair of glasses. You know, it's something you have to look at every single day and you really need to make sure that it works for you. And, for this particular device, I think it's going to meet the needs of a lot of different people because it can pull together so many great things into one device. It's got a beautiful screen. It's got a very good camera on it. It's got all the bells and whistles that you expect from something today. And so as you, the people are heading out to buy this one, Hopefully they'll have enough test units on site, but you can, you know, test it out and really put it side to side with, you know, the likes of the Hero or the Moment and make the decision yourself as to why this one would make sense. But, you know, for the average consumer, this is why people, you know, like sites like Android Central and the other SPE sites, because they get these phones and they go, well, I don't know what to do with this. Look at all this stuff I can do. You know, I can flip through screens, I can get email, and that's about all I know, you know? So there's so much more to learn about it. And, you know, I just tell people, you know, make sure, number one, though, that the device that you're buying is, especially here in the States, is on a network that works for you. Don't buy a device and hope the network works, because inevitably you're going to be upset if it doesn't.
Amen.
There's a lot of questions, and we get this for every phone, but obviously the Evo today, will this phone get Android 2.2? Does anybody here actually think it wouldn't? I mean, of course it will, right?
No, yeah. I don't think so.
Stop it. I'm going to get emails. We don't know when. We don't have a date, but
It's coming. Sure it will.
Yeah. Tomorrow. Don't have a date for that phone either, or that phone, or any other phone.
Speaking of rumored updates for the Evo, I think that's a nice segue.
Speaking of rumored up, no, this isn't a rumored update. We can expect an over-the-air update for the Evo just any day now. There were a bunch of reports over the past week or so about massive storage card defects, and this thing is crap, and they're sending out broken stuff, and it was just really horrible. Here's the deal. Occasionally, the Evo, like, fails to write to the storage card, and that's kind of a bad thing, right? Because apps write to the storage card. If you can't write to the storage card, you can't save photos by default, and that's bad, and it freaks out and says, cannot write to the storage card, and you wonder why. Simple reboot takes care of that, you know, so it's not a huge problem. But enough people were seeing it, and so instead of screaming, we asked HTC, and today they said, yep, we're aware of it, we're testing a fix, should push it out anytime now. So could be tomorrow, could be over the next week. Don't know exactly when, but they say it's coming. So look for that. And if you've read stories about it's shipping with a massive defect in the storage card, the storage card's just fine. It's not the storage card. If the storage card was bad, it would do it every time and not just, you know, once, twice a day, you know, however often it was. And I didn't even see it that often. I've only seen it happen like 3 times in the 2 weeks I've had the phone. So Chicken Little, sky's falling, but the sky's not falling.
The issue is how the Sense looks at the media on the card, and it's just not doing it efficiently. And so it gives up, and then it kind of says, you know what? We're not going to even let the entire OS look at the card. Pretty much locks it up in a process, and you can't use it at all until you reboot and it frees it back up. So they're just going to have to fix that for Sense. And then once they do, you'll be good to go.
It's not a problem until we say it's a problem.
Correct. You heard it here first. Not a problem yet.
Oh, man. Is that enough Evo? Everybody tired of the Evo yet? Am I the only one?
Yeah, I'm sick of it.
I ain't got nothing to say to either one of y'all.
Jerry's so mad.
What about the HDMI TV out? Does anybody care about that?
Wait, it has a what?
I mean, this phone has all these like cool features, and none of them I need, none of them I use. Maybe it's just me, but I don't need HDMI out. I don't need video chat. I would use 4G if I had it here, but I don't have 4G in my town. That's crap. Getting rid of it.
I have 4G. I don't even think I'm going to do HDMI out. Maybe I'll stream a YouTube video so everyone can laugh at it and go, oh, that was grand. And then we'll move on.
Yeah. There's nothing really, I mean, it's called the Evo, and I guess they mean it for like evolution or something. But I mean, there's really nothing that evolutionary about this phone. I guess it is evolutionary. There's nothing revolutionary about this phone, right? Crickets.
I just think they threw everything they could at and said, times three, and that's what happened.
Yeah, whatever that was ready to hit the market or close to being ready to hit the market, they threw it in there and said, let's try to sell it.
now I think I'm officially Evo'd out.
All right. Let's move on then. We pretty much, I think, wrapped up all the major Froyo features. And if we've missed any, email me and let me know. Anybody have any one thing that stands? I know we talked about this last week, but anything since then that we've touched on that anybody just loves? For me, it's still the just-in-time compiler. It's the speed under the hood in the background that you'll never actually see. But I can just play I can play games on the Evo with Froyo, or on the Nexus One with Froyo, and they're just faster than on the Evo.
I'm just kind of upset no one's reported that it has 23% more rainbows. And, you know, I just think that the 2.1 and 2.2 are like night and day. And until someone actually has sat there with Froyo and used it, they're just not going to believe it. They're going to watch your videos. They're going to look at you do Linpack. They're going to look at you do, you know, all kinds of sweet little, you know, graphic tests. And they're going to be like, I can't have it.
You see it, but you don't get the feel of it. Yeah.
Correct. Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, a benchmark is just that. It's a benchmark. But put one in your hands and hit the internet. You will see the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about some of the hardware news going on. We've seen a couple of pictures of this Droid Shadow, right? That's the one that first popped up in a Verizon corporate gym. And we've seen more pictures. The thing looks pretty tiny, like thin, not tiny, tiny, almost kind of Evo thinish. And the Evo's, you know, I think it's a half inch thick actually, but it feels much thinner than that. Are you guys getting excited about this thing? I mean, a solid Motorola phone with no keyboard.
I think everyone on Verizon should be very happy about this.
Yeah. I mean, that's Verizon's answer right there.
Is that how you see that, Mickey? Like, that's the one thing that's been missing? I mean, will the Incredible take away from that?
Absolutely, I think. Is there a point to this one? When does this come into play? I mean, when they decide that they want to go back to, you know, the flagship Android device being from Motorola, maybe?
Yeah, and in the Droid, you know, the original Droid is going to be, what, a year old come November? You know, so we still have 5 months, but it would, you know, even if they announced it today, it'd probably be a couple months before we saw it.
A couple of things worry me about this. This looks like it actually has hard buttons, not capacitive. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. You know, no one really knows for sure. And the placement of the microphone on it, I don't know if anyone's noticed it. The microphone is actually on the front at the bottom.
Nice. Thank goodness.
Yep. Well, nice if you don't have a big bushy beard.
Yeah, that's my problem. Be a
scratchy phone call anytime I would use it.
Yeah.
Know what I've been meaning to do? I've been meaning to grow a big bushy beard.
There you go.
What about the HTC Aria? This is kind of a mashup of a whole bunch of HTC phones at this point. You've got the trackpad from the Desire and Incredible. You've got the buttons from the Evo, but the whole thing is smaller and kind of looks like the Incredible. It's rumored for AT&T, but at the same time, we see this Samsung i897, which is really looks to be the Galaxy S, the Samsung Galaxy S that we saw at CTIA. And that one almost definitely is headed to AT&T because we've seen a branded ROM for it. Do you guys see two, you know, just black slab phones getting picked up by AT&T at the same time from two different manufacturers?
Just gonna be one at this point. I don't know which one it's gonna be, but I have a feeling maybe the Samsung. I think the HTC the Aria is probably a little ways off, but I've got nothing to substantiate that. So other than I think the 897 looks a little bit more realistic at this point.
I hope it is, because I really want to get my hands on some Super AMOLED screen and on Samsung's processor. I know the original stories, I think, from Android Guys was talking about it being rumored to have a 1 gigahertz Snapdragon processor, but Samsung doesn't do Snapdragon, doesn't do Qualcomm, they do their own chips. But it's that Super AMOLED screen that I really, really want to play with.
Buddy of mine, manager over at AT&T, they are looking by the end of the year to have 2 to 3 new Android devices released.
Are they going to break them? Are they going to cripple them?
That's a good... bazinga. I thought that was just interesting considering, you know, how they are going to go iPhone 4G or HD or whatever they're calling it this week. I think that's interesting. I think it's really like a hard Android push considering what they have pretty much deemed to be their flagship. And if it has any of the specs that the Evo has or the Droid Incredible, that's a fairly hard push.
While we've got AT&T, let's talk the data plans. We got the new data plans announced this week. They're getting rid of the unlimited data, though people keep saying unlimited like there was no cap on them.
This is a soft cap, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was in the you know, the terms that if you went over a certain amount, you would be warned, things like that. There weren't overage charges. You would just be kind of terminated, kind of like how Sprint does. I don't know. Some people,
I think I'm going to save money on the new plans.
Yeah, some people are going to save a lot of money. Some people are going to be furious because they love to do nothing but tether and stream YouTube all day long. So it's going to hurt some people, and it's going to, you know,
yeah,
Jerry,
those six people.
Jerry, who do you have? You have T-Mobile, right?
I've got, yeah, Sprint and T-Mobile.
Yeah. So what's your take?
It would kill me. I mean, I easy hit 5-6 gigabytes a month on my Sprint phone. I've got no data signal. Well, no, I take that back. With the new radio and Froyo, I can get edge if I stand near the front door. So I don't use hardly any data on T-Mobile, but, I use the heck out of it on Sprint. And that's because I tether. I spend a lot of time out in the deck with my netbook. And I plug a phone in and tether, and I paid for it back when they used to offer it as a $20 plan add-on. They've never told me that it's no longer valid. They keep taking my $20, so I use the heck out of it.
Well, so hold on a second here, Jerry. You're out on your back deck tethered. Mm-hmm. Why are you not just using your Wi-Fi?
It doesn't reach out there. It's real intermittent. Last week's podcast, I kept jumping in and out. That was done out on the deck.
Hmm.
I mean, a squirrel runs by and it's just interference, but they're big squirrels. They're like crocodiles out there.
Yeah, we have to give our squirrels rabies shots up here in the mountain.
Have you considered moving your Wi-Fi router, perhaps?
Yeah, and that's the wife and I have talked about that. It's a big project. I've got a little office space here that you don't even want to know what it involved with moving it. But one day I'm going to have to, you know, get some new equipment and move some stuff around. But for now, I just tether.
Hey, speaking of usage, I want to back up for a second because we totally blew past it and hop back to the Evo for a second and battery life. A lot of reviews just really pan this thing on the battery life, and I didn't find it to have great battery life, probably worse than the Nexus One. But why are people afraid of plugging in their phones?
Because a lot of people don't spend time sitting at a place where they can have it plugged in all day. You know, there's
like where? There, like a car or a office or,
you know, see, well, here's the other thing. You're comfortable then bringing your charger everywhere you go. You know, I don't have a problem plugging in the middle of the day. I do it occasionally, very rarely though, but I think we're at a point where you need to have your device really making it through an entire day, unless you've got something very specific happening, like you're, you know, on a call for 3 hours or something like that. But just doing regular stuff on a phone, the battery should last. I see what you're saying. Like, you shouldn't be scared of plugging it in, but I mean, you still have to realize that the average person needs it to make it a day. It just doesn't feel like the battery's good if you can't.
Keith, in your 24 hours with it, what have you noticed?
I will never make it a full day with any battery that's below, I guess, 2,000 mAh, and I did not last today. And that's because of where I work and the signal, because of the limitation of CDMA. GSM is smart. If it can't get a signal, it doesn't try so hard. It knows there's no signal. CDMA says, oh, no signal? Let me try harder. And it kills the battery even quicker. So
the good news is this has the same battery as the Hero and the Incredible and the Touch Pro 2. And there's one other one. I forget. So you can share batteries if you have old phones laying around.
Yeah. I mean, Incredible, Iris, Hero, Touch Pro 2. Yeah. HD2. It's kind of, and I'm shocked about that because we have seen HTC use different batteries over the years with different devices. I'm just kind of shocked. I'm not complaining. I'm actually happy.
No, absolutely.
I didn't make it through the day. I was probably about a quarter of the way through when I plugged it in, but it charges roughly to full in about 2 hours.
I think that to me is too long. I think at most it should be 100 minutes because if you're not 10, what kind of charger it is? Is it a 1 amp charger or is it 700?
I was using a 1 amp because I wasn't using stock. I was using a Palm Pre 1.
See, and those usually hit about 10% a minute. So that seems a little bit high, especially for a 1200 milliamp hour battery.
Well, and again, when I said 2 hours, it's in my mind. I didn't look at it to see what 100% charge was. So I'm only off by 20 minutes on your call there. So I think, I think I'm about right.
Okay.
We'll have to rerun Jerry's battery life article.
Keith, tomorrow and Phil, try shutting your calendar sync off for a day just to satisfy Jerry the idiot.
Hmm.
Worked real well for a lot of people on The Incredible.
I think that's the killer.
I think it was TechCrunch or somebody, you know, put up a post today. Basically, they turned off everything. They turned off all the widgets and Sense that would be constantly pulling data. And yeah, that's going to do it, right? Sense is always, you know, if you have FriendStream and calendars and weather and what else? I'm trying to remember photo syncs. If it's syncing Flickr just constantly, then yeah, it's going to suck down battery life. And you're going to have to play with some of that, I think, when you're setting up your phone and tweaking it and getting it the way you like.
See, and this is where I agree with you about turning all that kind of stuff off. There's a lot of extraneous stuff that you don't have to always have on, but there's a certain point where you say, okay, so I'm either going to use the phone or I'm not going to use the phone. I feel that way a lot of times about Bluetooth. Like Bluetooth sucks down battery if you have it on, especially on certain devices. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, but I've got all these Bluetooth things that I use, and I may not be using them all the time. But I'm using them enough to where I just want to keep Bluetooth on all the time. And I'm okay that it runs I have to charge every night instead of every two nights on certain devices. But that's okay, because at least then I'm using it. But if you're turning off all of these things that make the experience of it what it is, then it just doesn't really feel like you're getting the value for it. And that's where, and I think I said 1200 milliamp hour before, I think it's a 1500, isn't it? Standard is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So that seems like it should be able to make it through this, you know, through that one day. And one day meaning what? I mean, really, we're talking about like 16 hours. That doesn't seem like it should be all that much. I'm just all salty about this one tonight. I just disagree with you that I don't think you should have to plug it in the middle of the day unless you've like really taxed the thing. But just, you know,
what about weak signal area? What about weak signal area users?
I would shut off the phone and turn on Wi-Fi.
And that's what I do.
People
I turn
aren't,
on
people
Wi-Fi.
Aren't gonna turn off the phone. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but that see, and I don't know what to tell you there. I'd say don't go with Sprint. You know, I don't know.
Verizon doesn't even work where in my office at my school. So it's just a dead zone.
Well, Keith, it's time to get a new job then, I think. You know, I just don't know what else to tell you.
Amen, brother. Wow. Amen. See, I've been trying to tell my wife that's what I want to do. Just quit. Why don't I stay at home a little while?
Nice.
I tried that when we had our first kid, and she's like, man.
Okay, here we go. Hold on. Are we ready? We're moving from Mickey, root your phone, to Keith, get a new job, okay? Everybody start this now.
Everybody in the chat room, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Here it comes.
Flood.
The giant waterfall. There it is.
Flood. There we go.
I like it. All right. Well, let's move off that. Sorry to bring us back around to the Evo, but we needed to talk battery life. What else we got? We saw this, speaking of the Samsung Galaxy earlier, we saw this giant Samsung tablet that might or might not be real. It's probably real, but we've talked tablets before, and until we get one and use one, I'm just going to leave it at that. Though, speaking of tablets, sort of, the Dell Mini 5, the Dell Streak, it's available in Europe today, I think, today, tomorrow. And it should be coming unlocked to the U.S. sometime in July, but for $500. Ouch. I don't know. I mean, it's not that much, but...
It's $500, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, a small amount of money, but for something like that and unlocked, you know.
Is it running all the 3G bands or no?
I would assume so, since it's unlocked and actually coming to the U.S. We'll have to see. We haven't seen the bands, so we still have questions.
Right. I don't know. I wouldn't be so sure about that. I would say it's probably 2100 megahertz only.
I think I'd say it's only T-Mobile.
Is it a T-Mobile too then? So then it's got 1700.
T-Mobile's 2100, isn't it?
No, they're 17.
T-Mobile's 17.
17,
and
yeah.
AT&T is 21, okay.
No, AT&T is 900 and 850.
Who's 21?
Excuse me, 1900 and 850, not 900.
Yes.
Everywhere else in the world is 2100.
For everybody in the chat room who wants to kill themselves now that we're talking frequencies. Oh, all right. Let's see what else. The T-Mobile MyTouch 3G Slide is now available for like $180 on contract. Hooray.
Not a bad little device.
Yeah. Has anybody used one? I haven't gotten one yet.
Yeah, T-Mobile store. I went there. The store advocate had one. Said, sure, I showed him my Evo. He showed me his 3G slide yesterday.
Yeah.
Did it? Pretty cool. Pretty cool little phone.
Live to tell the tale.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of like I can see my friends who still have the G1 picking it up and being happy on T-Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
How's the keyboard on it, Keith?
Clicky, which if you've used the G1 after a while, maybe even after the first week, it stopped being as tactile.
Yeah.
It just felt like this keyboard was going to hold up. Nowhere near as crappy as the Droid.
Oh, well, I didn't say that. That was Keith that said that.
No, I've had the Droid, and it was like a peel-off, label. Big problem with that.
Well, I mean, you know what I say. The physical keyboard on the Evo is better than the physical keyboard on the Droid. And if you don't get the joke, go look at a picture. Speaking of weird keyboards, we had the Motorola Flip-Out announced this morning, as if there wasn't enough news. Or was that yesterday? I can't remember. But it was announced this week, and it's coming to Europe in the second quarter, which is, any time now, right? It's weird. It's square.
The wife wants it.
Yeah. I think people are right when they're saying this thing, if it were to come to Verizon, would totally kick the Microsoft Ken's butt just across the schoolyard.
When I showed it to my wife, what little bit we've seen on the internet, will that come to Sprint, was the first thing that came out of her mouth.
Yep. That's what she said. She's like, is that for Sprint? I said, nah. And I don't think it will. I don't think it will. I don't ever see Motorola Android other than the iDEN coming to Sprint.
Well, yeah, and the i1 is coming June 20th. You can get it on Boost Mobile, which is an MVNO of Sprint, isn't it? Uses Sprint's network.
Yeah.
But you can get that at Best Buy and Boost Mobile stores on June 20th. And if you really need push to talk, it's okay. It's not great. I used it at CTIA. I forget where I messed with it. And it was slow and Android 1.5 and is what it is, but it's push to talk with Android. So if you need push to talk and really want Android,
I've heard both. Phil, is it iDEN and CDMA or is it iDEN only?
Mickey? Oh, you mean the phone itself?
Yeah.
Mickey?
I thought it was.
You said my name and then you stopped talking. Boost is iDEN. So yeah, it's.
Yeah, but the BlackBerry is on Boost or CDMA.
Okay, that's right. They do have that now, don't they? So yeah, they're kind of doing like a hybrid deal.
Yeah, because if it's a hybrid, that's my new fishing phone.
When Jerry's out fishing and using his BlackBerry, the signature on the phone says sent from my BlackBerry. I'm probably out fishing. I love that.
Well, I mean, that's my phone. I'm not going to cry if it falls in the water.
Sure.
Well, for $350 a pop, you might.
Well, now the new iDen iBoost, whatever the heck it's called, is supposedly waterproof.
Well,
and
this is
not. I will find out if I buy one. It'll hit the bottom of the Shenandoah River just to see.
Now, the i1 is definitely not.
Now, I'm just saying what, you know, the spec sheet says. It actually uses the words waterproof, not water resistant.
Yeah, and I do believe it is hybrid for phone.
Yeah, after you mentioned that, it reminded me, and they've been doing that for about 4 months now, I think.
Yeah. But
they've had that capability, which totally makes sense because the Nextel network is vastly inferior to in breadth of what Sprint has built out with the CDMA side, and so if they want to start selling these things in mass, they had to do that. It's it's a whole other discussion on iDen and why that thing is still even around.
Well, the only thing they're using TDMA for still is for the push to talk at this point, which is helping the network bandwidth on kind of handle calls again for iDen users.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, bottom line, it's going to work for you. If you've got Sprint, this should work fine.
Yeah.
Let's talk some apps and some software, and we will start with Double Twist, which is kind of our favorite media syncing app for Android. Everyone's like, how do I get music onto my phone? This is probably the best way, especially if you're on Windows. The Mac version is a little lacking, but DVD John tells us that a new Mac version is coming probably this weekend, if not very, very soon. And they just released an actual Android app, too. So you can plug in your phone, and it will automatically sync over, and then you can use the music player, because I know a lot of people don't like the stock Android music player, right? It's pretty good. Jerry, you did the quick app review of it. What'd you think?
I like it. I plan on, using my Evo for a lot of media. That's, the screen's going to bring that to me. So as soon as I heard about, the update for the desktop program, I went ahead and reinstalled it on my computer here and got things set up. Got all my media here at the house, the library is imported. And then today I went ahead and put it on my Nexus after, they introduced the player, and I like it. There are a few things I still don't like, but it is a real good solution.
You're not a fan of the drag and drop?
Yeah, but what I can do with a Double Twist is I can sit here, set it all up, then just plug my phone in, hit a button, and walk out, grab a drink or something, come back, and it's done. I don't have to leave the phone plugged in and sit here and drag and drop each thing over at one time. And, I really plan on loading up the Evo. So, we're talking, 400 or 500 songs, couple movies. I don't want to have to sit there and pick and choose and drag them all over. I'd much rather grab a playlist and hit the sync button and be done.
I've been playing with the Audible app, which is in beta. For those of you who love audiobooks, very, very nice. My one single problem with it, other than it's in beta and it's kind of crappy and crashes right now, but they'll fix that, is you can't actually buy books from your phone. You have to do it from the computer, and then it will download them over the air, right? But you can't, buy them directly on the phone, and I want to do that very badly. But otherwise, it's a great app, and you guys are going to love it.
I don't know anything about books.
I know. It involves reading and words. So
what?
Yeah. Now, if it had pictures, you'd be all over it, right?
Yeah, I like pictures. Pictures are fun. I like pop-up books.
Motorola says they will let you know when the Froyo update's coming. We'll have a link in the show notes. You can go sign up for emails for that. And then you can quit bugging me, because that would be really great. Because, again, I don't know when your phone is getting Froyo. And I say your phone because I mean your phone. Personally, you. And all you guys in the chat room. Don't know when your phone's getting it either. Have no idea. And as soon as I do, I'll let you know. I promise. But I don't know. Hey, wait, you know what? Nope, sorry. Still don't know.
Mean.
What about now?
Nope.
Now.
Oh, hang on. Let me check something. Nope. Still don't know.
Sorry, guys. Not your day.
So I've been using the Flash 10.1 beta off and on. And actually, I've been using it more off than I have on. And I don't miss it when it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
I know Mickey's kind of been
down. It's just like just an old dude sitting on the porch going,
It's going to rain, Mickey.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about Flash.
Tell me something about Flash.
Tell it, brother.
The experience is actually, from what I've seen, because anyway, it's not bad, right? But at the same time, yeah, you play some games, you watch some embedded videos. It's a novelty, right? I mean, majority of the stuff that you're looking to do, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, really. Honestly, you said it yourself. You're not really missing it. So, you know, do you ever think that it's going to get to a point where it is going to be standard, or are we, is this experiment here that we've seen with the 10.1 kind of like the, okay, let's move on to HTML5.
I agree.
That was a question. That wasn't a thing to agree with.
I actually disagree. I think that I have found that there are times where Flashlight's not cutting it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm childish. I like to go to homestarrunner.com and have fun with it. Sorry. You know, and it's not something that I think that you might want to show people or even just sit there and humor yourself with, but I do. And I think personally, I don't know, Jared, would you like Flash, or are you on the camp that could do without?
I used to be on the camp that thought I didn't need it until I actually used it with, you know, on my Nexus. I was forced to monkey around with it so we could, you know, write up a little article, make a little video how it worked. And since they give you the option to leave it available but not running, you know, you just, like the Firefox extension, click to bring the Flash content up. I love it. I go wherever I need to go on the internet. I don't have to, you know, worry about, am I in a mobile page? Look, a YouTube video. I have to go to YouTube and watch it. No, I can just push that little green arrow and up it comes. So I'm really liking it.
I want it to go one further. I want there to be an actual Flash, like, app. Like, you know, you go and launch the app, and all it is a big giant button that says on, off. And when it's off, it's just totally out of memory. Doesn't touch your phone at all. It's not waiting in the background for you to press it on a, you know, on a web page or whatever. I just want it gone.
You can do that.
I want it back.
In the settings on the browser, yeah, you can turn it off.
No, completely. Not just in the browser. I mean on the phone.
Oh.
Like when it's set to off, it's like it's not even there.
Does it really like irk you, or does it really, in terms of performance, irk you?
No, I don't think it's a performance thing at all. I think it's just me.
Okay. Well, that, you know what?
It's just kind of spiteful.
No.
If I'm gonna be accused of just hating Flash on principle, then damn it, I'm just gonna start hating it on principle, I think.
And I, you know,
let's start using a Mac too.
I kind of get that though. I kind of do. Renee is like that over at, you know, the iPhone blog, and he doesn't hate it because Apple hates it. He hates it because it's something to him. He used to be a developer, or
he knows what he's talking about. I have no idea, but yeah, he's actually used all this stuff. So don't not use Flash just because I say so.
But he knows but for me, it works for me as a end user.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's what I think too. I'm no web coder guru by a long shot. I just know it's nice to use my thumb and hit that little green arrow and see what they want me to see. And I think a lot of it is, you know, let's use Renee as an example. A lot of what Renee is going to be browsing on the internet is going to be geared more towards HTML5 just because of the sites he's looking at. you know, a site all about the iPad is not going to have a lot of flash on the page. So it works really well for him. I'm going to go, you know, read an Android blog somewhere, and they're going to want to showcase the flash. So maybe that's why I find it a little more useful than other people would.
I find most flash sites so overwhelming in many cases that I wouldn't even want to see it on a small screen. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a small screen. I have an Evo.
Still too small. I can barely handle it on a lot of laptop screens, you know, get it. I'm not going to discount the fact that it's incredibly, popular and widely used among some of the biggest websites that are out there. But I do feel like it's not something that's necessary on such a small screen. And I've been getting by with it without having flash for, however long I've been using mobile devices, you know, 6-7 years. And I don't know. I just don't really feel like now we need to have this. And yeah, it's cool. And it's, again, it's a novelty in my mind.
I agree.
And therefore it is so.
And so we shall move on. Saw a few stories today declaring that, whoa, you can't get your copy protected apps in Froyo. And yes, you can. We told you how to last week. So we'll have a link in the show notes for those of you who've moved on to Froyo on your Nexus One and desperately need your copy protected / paid apps back. We have pretty easy instructions on how to do it. Just a matter of copying over a file real quick. Not a big deal. And finally, we sort of took it. The cool kids are doing it.
Yeah.
We sort of took it out of beta. Still have a few bugs we're working on, a few more features, but the Android Central widget, or widgets, because we now have a couple sizes. Real, real simple stuff, guys. It's just links to the mobile site. The stories pop up. I think it refreshes every half hour. No, we don't have settings, so you can't control how often it refreshes. Every half hour should be fine, because let's face it, your phone is refreshing way more stuff than that, right? We're not going to be killing your battery. So we have that, and you can go play with it. And at last check, something like 3,000 people were using it. And so if you're not one of them, well, you're pretty lame, because everybody's doing it.
It's actually not widgets. It's Widgi for plural.
Widgi. Yes. Yeah. Like Magi.
Isn't that the new Star Wars movie? Return of the Widgi?
You know, like, it's like I get like a nugget of golden, and you come in here and you just ruin it.
Well, that's my purpose.
Skype's about to drop Jerry again.
What?
Couple pieces of Google news before we move on to voicemails and emails, one of which we already talked about, so I will skip it. And the other one I don't care about. So I'm just reading. I'm so tired. I'm just reading the script and just not even seeing what the words are. So should we do some voicemail and email?
The voicemail. What? Right. It doesn't quite work. Sorry.
Yeah, not so much.
I was just listening to Android Central, and I heard where y'all said that Sailor South would be getting a droid in the future. And I just wondered if y'all could expound on that. I'm wanting to buy an Android, and I was looking at getting the Hero through Sailor South, but if I can wait on a droid, I think I'd be better off to do that. My name's Rick, and thanks a lot.
Hey, that was Rick. Cellular South. It's not getting the droid. It's getting the milestone, which is the droid, actually. But, yeah, it's getting the droid. So I need to check on when, actually. I haven't heard anything on that for a little while. And I think they're actually getting the Desire as well. So if you're looking for something without a keyboard and with sense.
The only thing they shouldn't be getting is the Devour.
And that's fine by me. Should be fine by you, too.
Yeah.
Poor Devour.
No poor Devour. It's an awful.
Emails. Garth writes, I would like to know more about Root. Could you please tell me everything I need to know about Root, especially for the Droid Heiress? Thanks. No, we're not going to do that right now, because we could be here all night talking Root and why you need it. But what we will do, and I'm putting it back up on Friday, is Jerry's awesome Q&A he did a couple months ago about what Root is, why you want Root, and who is this Root guy anyway, and you can read it there. So, and I'll put a link in the show notes, too, when we publish the podcast. So, Keith, you want to read the next one?
Yeah. Joshua writes, What exactly makes the iPhone so much more polished and easy to use compared to stock Android? I keep hearing this statement from the so-called experts in media. My friend has an iPhone, and it did not seem any easier to use than my Moto Droid. What am I missing? I think that's a Mickey question, actually, since it's...
since it's not just about Android. Well, the way that I look at all these different devices and all the different smartphone operating systems is that they all are filling a specific niche. And I think the iPhone for the general consumer is about as easy as it gets. You've got these little icons that have words underneath them, and you push them, and it does things for you. I mean, it's incredibly intuitive. Now, when you say that your friend has the iPhone and you didn't seem that it was any easier to use, I would argue that because you've got more buttons and more options and some, you know, various settings and stuff like that, it can possibly be overwhelming to someone who's not familiar with it. Now, I'm talking in very general terms on a very high level, and you can agree or disagree with it as you want. But I think that the flexibility of what the Android OS brings to the handset is what's made it so popular, and the fact that people aren't just going to say, all right, I need to go with an Apple product because it makes it easier, but it doesn't do everything that I necessarily want my phone to do. So I wouldn't go as far as to say that the Droid is easier to use than the iPhone, although you may find it to be on an equal level understandable to you as far as how you're using. You have to realize that the general consumer is not necessarily going to find all the intricacies of Android, let's say, charming. You know, they're going to want something that's, you know, you turn it on and, wow, I need to obviously touch the screen because I've got no other buttons and, you know, I don't know. That's kind of where I feel like why that is.
I agree.
I'm actually going to agree with his friend and say the iPhone is more polished than AOSP Android.
Oh, of course it is.
Right.
The iPhone, you know, I'm not a big Apple fan, but I love the iPhone. You take the iPhone out of the box, turn it on, does what it's supposed to do, no learning curve, no problems.
Yep.
I'm not saying it doesn't come with limitations, but
Right.
But, you know, that's why, and that's where Jerry and I, we probably flip the coin. We're realistic enough to say that the iPhone does have probably more polished feel, but in the end result, the Android system has more of a control feel that I like.
Yeah, once you get over the small learning curve on an Android device, you can make it absolutely yours. That's what I like about Android.
Mickey, you want to read the next one?
I am, but I'm not going to be able to answer it, but I'm okay reading.
Okay.
Bad Robot writes, I'm a recent convert from Symbian who wrote you while considering the change. The day after I received my Nexus One, after hearing Phil's praise about the Cyanogen mod, I rooted my phone and had it running. I loved it. Not only was it much more feature-packed, it was a hell of a lot more stable, but then I got Froyo. Despite the coolness, I regret the switch. I miss the color trackball that works better than Froyo. I miss the app launcher, etc. My question, in your ROM switching expertise, will I again be able to switch to a Froyo-based Cyanogen mod while running, retaining settings, or was the only possible in Froyo because of the update file and not a full ROM? Yeah, I have no idea. So someone else has got to take that.
Well, I mean, I'll say if I wasn't like testing Froyo hardcore, I would probably revert back to CyanogenMod just because it has all the little tweaks that I love. As far as upgrading, I don't know, Jerry. I mean, you know how that works better than I do. Will you be able to just flash the next one on top maybe? And you don't have to give a yes or no because...
that's a maybe. It's, you know, I think CyanogenMod was a little bit closer to Froyo than just stock Android, and they made the Froyo that they pushed out update, you know, stock Android without wiping out all your settings. So that's why there wasn't a problem for most people on CyanogenMod. You know, there are a few horror stories out there. People tried doing it without wiping, but, you know, I think that's something that Google's going to want to try to do. You know, let's hope they can, but really, you know, I would be guessing if I said yes or no, but, you know, it's something they're going to try.
And do remember in Froyo, one of the new big features is if you swap phones or you lose your phone or your phone breaks or whatever, actually user data is going to be backed up as well. So when you switch phones.
Turn that off if you back up. If you roll back, turn that off.
Yes.
If you go from Froyo back to, you know, the stock ROM, don't even try with that enabled. I pulled my hair out for several hours over that.
That would be not good. All right, Jerry, you read the next email.
Okay, Tom writes, what are your thoughts on slab versus phones with physical keyboards? I find that on my Droid, I type on the virtual keyboard but wouldn't give up the physical keyboard for games. Physical keyboards, I love the candy bar style. People make fun of me. I like the Pixie. I like my Blackberries. That's the kind of keyboard I like. My little bit of time with the Droid, I did not like a landscape slider keyboard. The same with the Touch Pro 2. I can't get into it, but I do see the good side of using it for games, especially with the D-pad. So, that's a personal choice. I wouldn't go on what somebody else thinks about that. It's something you're going to have to try for yourself in your own hands.
I agree. I went from a Touch Pro 2 to the Nexus 1, and it's the first phone I've had in use that didn't have a physical keyboard. And yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. I don't, email as much from it, or if I do, it's a lot shorter. And I still really miss my Q9H, which is still sitting here on my desk, sans battery, because the thing won't charge anymore, and I'm very, very sad about that. But yeah. If I can't have like a good, landscape keyboard or a portrait keyboard, then I'll just go no keyboard. Anybody else?
I'm not a slider fan, and I've tried a number of them. Touch Pro 2 is about as close as I got to one that I actually enjoyed, but definitely a portrait QWERTY or a person or nothing. It's such a personal thing, truly. I mean, you can't. I mean, he asked for our thoughts, Tom. These are our thoughts. I don't like slider keyboards, landscape orientation.
Let's see. Steve writes, previously, maybe it was the last podcast, you mentioned that the Evo 4G no longer had the With Google branding. After you mentioned this, I went back and looked at previous pictures of the Evo and found that both versions of the backplate existed at the CTIA event. Can you explain what this all means? Very, very good question. And I've asked Google and I've asked HTC and nobody had an answer. And I totally forgot about that. And actually, I remember that coming up back then too. So we will get back on that. And I really wish we'd asked that question in Google I.O. while we had everybody in the room, and we blew that. And for that, I apologize. I don't know what it means anymore. And I remember at CTIA, when I sat down with HTC, it said with Google on the back of the Evo. And it obviously does not anymore. So I don't know. We need to track that down and figure out exactly what it means and if it really matters anymore, or if Google just kind of blesses everything at this point, right? Who wants the last email?
I'll take her. David in Studio City writes, I'm currently using a Palm Pre and do like it a lot. However, I feel that Palm will not be one of the major platforms in the future, so I'm thinking about purchasing the Evo. I think Android 2.2 Froyo is much better than the current 2.1, though Evo will ship with 2.1. Do you think it makes sense to wait until I can download Froyo on the Evo? I think in his question, he's kind of trying to figure out a way to push himself off from buying this right now, is what I feel like the reason he's asking the question. It sounds like he's very interested in going with Android, but doesn't necessarily want to make the jump right now for whatever reason. And for that, I would say just hang on and wait until it comes out with 2.2, and wait. But I don't know. I mean, if you want the phone, go get the phone, but it's kind of funny. That's how I read into that one.
Keith?
For me, and having the 2.1 Evo without it, it's not a deal breaker. Do I think people should wait for you're going to find problems with 2.2 as soon as it goes to the Evo and Sense. That's going to be first generation 2.2 with Sense. Well, it's definitely not going to be, the Incredible will not be 2.2 over the Evo. That's not just how Verizon works. So you're going to find problems with that. I say get comfortable with 2.1 Evo, be happy with it, wait to see what everyone does with 2.2, and then kind of go at your own risk from there.
You agree, Jerry?
Yeah, well, it's... Does he want to use his pre while he's waiting, or would he rather use the Evo with 2.1? You know, look to the future to make your purchasing decisions is always nice, but for right now, he's using the pre. He likes it a lot. Then, you know, maybe he should stick with the pre and see what's coming up, you know, 2.2 on the Evo, or you never know. The way the phones keep pumping out, maybe there'll be something that tickles his fancy a little bit better. So, and this is another one of those personal decisions. It's hard to, you know, to suggest what somebody else should do. I don't know how much he likes his pre or how little he would, you know, like the Evo with 2.1. So he really needs to go to the Sprint store after all the rush, you know, calms down over the weekend, play with one for a half an hour, and then decide.
I agree.
Of course,
you're
just
in an agreeing mood tonight.
I would buy it now. I mean, I wouldn't wait.
Well, I would too, but you know,
if your wife says you can't get the phone, then don't get the phone. Let's face it, that's probably what's happening here, right?
No. Goes. Yeah.
Yeah, Keith. Mickey, you want to take it home?
Sure. Be sure to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com if you would like to have your question or comment read on the show. You can also get us all on Twitter. The feed for the site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. And I don't remember Jerry. And I don't know that I know Keith, although it may be the Keith Newman.
Yeah.
Jerry, I'm sorry, I forgot yours.
Oh, that's all right. I'm @GB Hill, GBHIL.
Nice.
Gerbil. What?
Gerbil.
The entire podcast is brought to you by the Android Central Store. It can be found at store.androidcentral.com. If you'd like to get in touch with the store, give us a call, 888-468-6158. And you can leave us a voicemail at that same number, 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222. That number again, 888-468-6158, extension 222.
Call now. Supplies are limited.
All right, everybody. I think that's going to do it for another exciting, informative, exhausting. There was blood. There was sweat. There were tears.
We cried.
We cried. Android Central Podcast. Thanks for coming. Jerry, Keith, Mickey.
Pleasure was all mine.
Thanks,
pleasure
guys.
Pleasure was all Keith's.
All right. We'll see everybody again next week. Chat room. Thank you. See you, everybody.
Adios. Bye.
You know, because there's my phone, and people call me.
Podcasting fail.
Yeah. Because you know,
radio edit.
I wanted to edit. There we go.
If that was your mom, right? And said whoever this, whoever it was, you're like, I'm about to punch this person in the face, and then your mom, would you still punch her?
Isn't it crazy that I actually have a home phone? Like I have a landline.
That's what that was? I thought you just had like an old time ringer.
Nope, that was my landline. That was Sprint calling. Have you heard about the Evo? Nice.